time to believe again for the word of the Lord to your heart, to your mind, and to your life. For it is I, the Lord, who speaks, and it is I, the Lord, who watches over his word. It is me who watches over my word to you. And will it not come to pass? Oh, indeed it will. But I also say, have faith. Have faith and believe. Let the belief of your heart and the confession of your mouth, oh, come out. Let a word of faith come out of your mouth and say, yes, I believe. Lord, I will believe. Hallelujah. He's a big God. He's in our midst. He's for you. He's not against you. We sing of him. We speak of him. We worship of him. But now it's time to just now receive. Let it go into your spirit. I'm mindful of the fact that when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he preached the word of God, and it says they were cut. They were cut to the heart. Have you been cut? Are we cutters? We're cutters. We are cut with the word of God. We are inked with the word of God. We are entered with the word of God has cut into our heart. And we let that word come alive in us and say, yes, Lord. All he has to do is speak, and he will bring it to pass. He will. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to you today. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? We're going to speak to you about our response to the Lord, our response to the words of God upon our heart. Today's message is called Never Settle for Less. Say that with me. Never settle for less. Let that be your testimony. Let that be your witness. Let that be your faith statement in life. I will never settle for less. And again, I'm not talking about something like, you know, when you shop at Kmart instead of Nordstrom or something like that. I'm talking about the high purpose of God in your life. That God has great plans, a great purpose, a big thing. He's a big God, and he has big things in store for you. And yet, we need to put in our heart that we are not going to settle for less. We're called. We are actually called to not do this, not settle. Don't be a settler. Don't settle for less than what God wants to do in and through your life. God's working in you now, right? He's working in you. He's working through you. And I just want to open up a broader canal, a broader heart, enlarge your heart, enlarge your faith. Because we just sometimes, especially the longer you're a Christian, you just kind of settle into, well, this is probably as good as it gets. You know what? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay, Pastor. This is probably the end of the line for me, and I'm just going to occupy and retire in my spirit. You don't need to do that. Never settle. I think we get into a kind of a too little syndrome, what I call a too little syndrome. Is that you? What does that look like? You think too small. You stop thinking big. You pray too little, too small. You used to pray big, now you pray little. You've modified your prayers. You've compromised a little bit. Well, that didn't come through, so let's just bring it down a notch or two. We expect too little. We dream too little. We do everything too little. So what happens in our heart and in our minds when that happens, then we end up doing less. Right? We end up doing less. So let's let our faith call us out today. I want to call you out today. The Holy Spirit wants to call you out today. He calls us. The word calls us. The prophetic word upon your life calls you to never settle on what God will do in your life and through your life. Let's believe God for more. Say more. When have we stopped praying for more? God, give us more. There's got to be more. Well, is this biblical? Is this some kind of another brand of prosperity preaching? You know, is this really something that is for me? Well, let's look at what the Apostle Paul believed about it. What he said to the church, that's you. He said to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Version, look at it. Never doubt God's mighty power. Say, never doubt. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. Say, all. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. He will exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. Really? For his miraculous power constantly is going to energize you. So let's believe for great things. Let's contend. Let's not settle for less. Let's make a decision. I'm not going to settle. Say it. I'm not going to settle.
It's the magic one. Good. All right. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 13, but I'm going to paraphrase this story for you that involves King Jehoash and also Elisha the prophet. The king is really depending on Elisha to be his protection, always have a prophetic word for him, and take care of things. And even though Elisha's pretty old at this point, he's getting ready to die, still this one last thing needs to happen. Jehoash appeals to the prophet for help, and he gets this unusual set of instructions. He wants him to get a bow and some arrows and take this bow in their hands. The prophet doesn't have him do it alone. He comes along behind him, puts his hands over his hands, and they shoot this arrow out the east window. The prophet tells him, "This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Well, then comes another instruction. To the king, Elisha says, "Take these arrows and strike the ground." So the king strikes the ground three times and he quits. Elisha's angry. "You should have struck the ground five or six times, which should have guaranteed you complete victory over Aram. But now you're only going to defeat it three times," which is borne out in history. Then Elisha died, it says, and he was buried. But what about the king? He could have secured complete victory for Israel, but he didn't. He settled for a lot less. And we're just going to ask the question, why? And it's a simple answer. He quit. He just quit. I know we're Americans. We want to defend the underdog. We want to, you know, just say, oh, he didn't mean to do that. Or why? How should he have known? But remember the first part of the story. He has already had an impartation from Elisha. This is the guy they threw the body in his tomb, and it came back to life just from touching his dead bones. Believe me, when his hands went around his hands and he was pulling that arrow back, he received something. But he decided to settle for less. He just didn't want it badly enough. So here's a question for today. For you, what do you truly want? What do you truly want? It's okay to ask that question. It's not unspiritual. It's not selfish. What do you truly want? You're not going to fail if you just don't quit. The Lord is faithful throughout our lives. Remember the power of a prophetic word and what Paul said to Timothy. He told him, you get these prophetic words. How many of you have ever had one? Something spoken over you. This is a pretty prophetic church. I know there's more of you than that. All right. So you get that prophetic word. He tells him to war over that. To stir that thing up. Don't stop believing. How many times have you thought you failed when actually you just stopped short or quit too soon? Is it possible that failure is simply the consequence of that, just giving up too soon? Let's go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and see what it says about it. Verse 6, "And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God, for we come to God in faith, knowing that he's real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him." Have you been feeling some passion lately for the Lord? Do you ask him to stir up that fire within you and just fan that flame within you and come to you more and more? He wants that. He actually wants you to do that because he rewards the faith that it takes to do that. He's not trying to get you to just do things. He wants you to do things in faith so he can reward you. That's our God. He's so loving. He's a rewarder. Is our most tragic failure maybe giving up on ourselves? It's that too little syndrome that Steve was talking about. Well, let's just break that today. It's only the enemy who says you can't break that today. And why would we be listening to him right now? So the Holy Spirit is telling you it's time to break that. It's time for a new mindset, which is save nothing for the next life. You're not going to evangelize in heaven. Nobody's getting saved up there. This is where we do it, you know. This is our moment. Every moment of ours is our moment. Save nothing for the next life. So take the arrows, that vision, that dream you have. Strike the ground hard now. Strike it many times. Strike it in prayer. Empty your quiver. Shoot those arrows and let the trajectory of your life hit God's target.
What is your mindset? Is it a pioneer? I could ask you the question, and some would be reluctant to raise your hand. How many are pioneers? How many are settlers? How many of you are pioneers or settlers? If I asked you that, do you have a pioneer mindset or do you have a settler mindset? A pioneer doesn't have a settler mindset. It's only settlers that settle. Pioneers, they press through. They go to places they've never been before. Pioneers are explorers. Settlers are much different. I'll tell you how they're different. They seek after safety and security. They're the ones who needs all the facts before they go forward. I know how to make a decision. I have to get all the information. No, you don't. Not if you're going to be following Jesus. Not if you're going to be following the Holy Spirit. He's not going to tell you everything. He's just going to say, come, and you need to come. He's going to tell you to go, and you need to go. He doesn't put conditions on it. That's why when the prophet told the king, hit the ground, he didn't qualify it. He didn't warn him. Make sure you hit it enough times. He didn't share the consequence if he came up short. So we are going to be pioneers or we're going to be settlers. A pastor said this about that subject. He said, it used to be the settlers who were assured of safety. It was the life of a pioneer that was fraught with danger. In today's world, this has changed. It is no longer the settlers who are safe, but the pioneers. The settlers, here's news for you, they're dying. The pioneers, those are willing to venture forth and take risks. They are the ones who are truly safe because they are the ones who have the potential to grow and experience new life. So, was there a right and wrong answer? Actually, there was. I'm challenging us to be pioneers today. Never settle. Never, don't be settlers, because settlers will always settle and they will say, that's enough. Never settle. Believe that God has more in and through you. The scripture says it. There's more prophetic destiny on you. There's more to do. There's more to believe for. There's more people to meet. There's more people out there that need you. There's more and more that God wants to do. So just like the king, he was blessed with the prophet giving him a bow and giving him an arrow, even though he was weeping and he was wondering how he was going to do without the man. And he didn't understand it wasn't about the man. It wasn't about the person of the prophet. It was about what was upon the prophet. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And he didn't quite get that. But we can get that today. And he puts the bow in your hand. and he puts his hands on your hands and he anoints you, and you have arrows to shoot and you have ground to take. I'm telling you, I do believe that this is a picture of Gateway and what they're doing, what we're doing with the vision of taking cities, planting churches in at least 10 cities. That's like taking the arrows and hitting the ground and taking the cities. I'm thankful for Pastor David. I'm thankful for the leadership. I'm thankful for the vision. I'm thankful for all of that because I believe it's a God thing. Why? Because it goes after the heart of God, that he desires souls and he desires to save souls and save cities and plant churches where people can come to know the Lord and be set free. Hallelujah. Transform lives. More, more, more. More to be done. More to be done. So let's keep striking the ground and don't stop.
Let's see how artistic you are. Would you make this shape with me? See, now some of you heard Pastor Chris, that whole verse about obeying, and you're already there. That's awesome. Okay, so this shape, it's got two meanings today, a dual meaning. And first thing we're going to do is talk about our life. And, you know, it's like a hill. We usually hear the part, you're over the hill. But think of it like a hill. And some of you are on that first side of the hill. In the natural, you're younger and you're making decisions about your life, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do in life for ministry, all kinds of things. And even if you're not ready for it, you're a pioneer, what he's talking about. Some of you are right at the top. It's kind of that change point. And, you know, maybe you see, I'm not so sure I like what's ahead of me, but boy, I'm not so sure I like what's behind me either. And we can kind of get stuck in that place in the middle. And then there's people like us that are kind of, all right, we've rounded the curve. And we're wondering, why is life going so fast now? What can we still do for God? Is there still time? Are we going to be left behind? And the Lord is trying to say something to all of us today, and that is that you have more to offer. You have more to offer, more arrows to shoot for God. You have more ways to bless others and pretty much more of everything if you just don't quit. Just don't quit. So you don't know Steve and I very well, some of you, and we were raised in two very different environments. I was raised here in San Jose and a pastor's kid, and then we ended up pastoring the same church. So one place my whole life. And in that place, we were usually kind of pretty small until the 70s when there was a boom and there was a move of God and young people came in, and that's when Mr. Handsome came along and finished the whole story, you know, came because we had a Bible college. So that Bible college is Northern California Bible College. So you see, we're really connected, right, you guys? So because of that, you know, we had these two different lives. Part of my childhood, even though our church was small, these powerful preachers would come through. How many of you know Pastor Greta King? So her dad, George Evans, was one of those guys. Emmanuel Canastracy was one of those guys. David Schock. These were mighty pioneers of the faith. And they started their ministry out of the Latter-rain movement. They were just on fire with God. So, you know, I'm just a little kid in church kind of wishing I could just go to sleep or, you know, do something other than just be in church all the time. But there was still an impartation that these people had on my life, and it was the kingdom of God. It was how big it is, how important it is, how it needs to just advance, and it's people that have this kind of violent heart, not in the sense of something negative, but like they will press in. They'll press in. That's what the kingdom of God is like. So I was being moved by things that they said, but mostly just that powerful way they had about them. And Steve grew up in a different way. His dad was an alcoholic. He was raised by a single mom, and they lived mostly in mountain towns in California. One of them was Paradise, California, that burned down last year. It was like that's part of where he spent most of his life. And she had an interesting experience being a woman who was divorced. Some of the churches wouldn't receive her. And so they had to go and find places that would. So one of those places is a little four square church where Sister Mickey, she looked at Steve and said, "You've got a call on your life to preach." So he's just 15 years old and she gives him a chance to do that. You know, thinking big. telling, imparting into his life. So we both had that experience of people who are pioneers and they just put things into our life about the kingdom of God. So that impartation would be a lot like Jesus said we're supposed to live, right? Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and others as ourself. That could be all of our life verse. If you don't have a life verse, now you do. So this kingdom mentality reinforced the understanding God wanted to use us, and we just needed to keep giving him our life, all through our life, all of our life, keep pursuing him until he calls us home. I wasn't seeing these pioneers that I talked about earlier retiring. They just kept serving the Lord and kept preaching. So we got married, and 2 weeks later, we started into youth ministry and eventually took over the church, and we started that uphill climb of our ministry. So your life is not ours, and everyone here has a beautiful story to tell about how the Lord has brought you in. So your course is different than ours, but you still have to climb it. You still have to climb it. So let's look at that shape again. This time it represents an arrow in flight. So I took archery for like 2 weeks. About all I could master was just like yanking that thing back and making it go like a line drive into the hay bale. And it just wasn't pretty. But I want you to picture, when you think of what I'm talking about now, it's like the arc of an arrow, like Katniss of Hunger Games, how she just pulls, you know, fluid movement and just arrow after arrow shoots and they hit the target. They just soar in the air and come right down and hit exactly where they're supposed to hit. So when you're on that first side of life's hill, you got a lot of arrows and you've got a lot of targets to hit. All those different decisions I was talking about before, it takes a lot of energy to climb that hill. So good thing you're young when you try to do that. But at a certain point, you know, when you are in that middle stage, kind of at the top of the hill, you still have a lot left. You still have a lot left, and maybe you are tired. Everybody in this valley's tired. I mean, we've been living in Pismo Beach, and they call it slow down there, and it is, because it's fast here. And so, yeah, you're tired. But when you get to that part, you know, just at the top, you still need to just really look and see, what does God have for me? Get rid of baggage that's weighing you down, especially the emotional kind. Forgive everybody. Just move along, and that's what'll help you do it. And then you'll be able to kind of see some clouds clear and, okay, there's more God has for me, more places he wants me to go. Don't stay stuck at the top of the hill just admiring the view. Be one that just moves forward. Like the trajectory of an arrow, you're going to eventually come down to earth. So why not go for it and hit that bullseye of a target? You know, for us, because we came from families that were serving God, our course was kind of set before we even knew what was happening. But you might just be entering into your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter what time you enter. What matters is that you're going to gain this godly momentum as you go. So start climbing. And if you're at the top, don't sit down. Stand up, ask the Lord, and then start going. Like us, you probably miss a few opportunities. And that's one of those places we get stuck, is regret and disappointment. But you know, as long as we have breath, we have a chance to do more for the Lord. We have a chance to go forward. We have a chance to finish well. You know, we got to the top of that hill, and we had to make some big decisions in our life. And I'm so excited that there's quite a few from Liveheart here today. And the thing that's so cool about that is God has moved us in a different direction, but some are coming with us, and then some just still get to come around, because you form relationships. Even if you change who you're walking with, if you're walking with the Lord, you're going in the right direction. To fly long and hard, we've had to come to a point of no return. We've had to decide to save nothing for the next life, but leave it all on the battlefield now. Why would we hold back? Why would we hold back? Set our past on fire and refuse to stay behind. Why don't we just all decide today? And you've probably already decided it, but I need to declare things. I need to rehearse things verbally. When I'm praying, I need to prophesy things and remind myself, it matters what I do today. It matters how I think today. Every decision I make matters. It doesn't matter where you are on that continuum of the hill, but just to remember it's never too late. It's never too early. Find your people. And that could change throughout your life, like I was just saying, but we're all going to have a party in heaven, but God is going to put you in different situations. Maybe it's at work. He's going to move you around, shift you around, cause you to do some different things. And that's part of that pioneer heart and journey. So you need to know what you want. It's not wrong to ask the Lord, what do I want? Because sometimes we don't know what we want. We've never had people maybe putting into our life and telling us what we could do or what we could be. So you need to hear it right from the Lord, and that's the best place anyway. Just let him speak to your heart and then become battle ready. You know, it's not just some little Sunday school thing to put on the whole armor of God. We need to do that. We need to have a spiritual exercise like that. You know, for us, we want to impart the kingdom of God, especially to the younger ones, because we've had a lot of, I'm not going to say we've had our day because that's a different message that would go against what I'm saying, but we feel like, wow, I still want to give to the next generation. I love the next generation, and they didn't get some of the things that I got, so I want to be an imparter. God is opening large doors of opportunity for us right now, and it's not because of who we are or it's just his faithfulness to use your whole life, gather up all of your experiences. If you keep following him, it just gets better and better. Your faith gets stronger. And so then, you know, if you're listening to him, he is going to take you into places that you didn't even imagine you could go. We're about to sell the place where we're living in Pismo Beach and live an RV life. Let me tell you something. 2 years ago, no. Not even a year ago. And we'd finally moved to the place we thought, this is the place we want to die. Like this is, you know, but the Lord started stirring us over things like what's happening here, about the things we prayed our whole life, taking cities and not settling and really going after the next generation. And so we wanted to partner with people who were doing that. And so God has caused us to have faith to do something. But, you know, I always learned from the time I was young, because I always thought I would have to marry somebody I didn't like. I thought, you know, that's the way Christians used to talk about things like that. I just thought, God's going to make me do something I don't want to do. But I actually want to live in an RV. I can't believe it. I really can't. But he will do that. He will make us willing to do what we aren't willing to do if we'll just delight ourselves in him. And then you'll actually want to do it. He's not mean. He's good. So in Hebrews 12, it's right after the faith chapter. And Hebrews 11 ends where these heroes that have been talked about all through the chapter, but especially the martyrs at the end, they died not seeing the fullness of everything they paid for with their lives. But they set a course for us. So then you go right into Hebrews 12, 1, and it says, as for us, say, as for us. We have all these great witnesses. That's those people who've gone before us and given their lives in one way or another, who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. That's the first step. And the sin we so easily fall into. Get rid of that too. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before you. I had no idea that God would bring us together to be with all of you, but it's good because I like you.
Between Elijah and Elisha, because I think it displays this most important principle in their relationship and how Elisha related to Elijah of what he had in the spirit and how he coveted what that man had. And that in that relationship, Elisha shows what kind of man he was. And that is, he is a demonstration of the message today. That he never settled for less. He was a pursuer of God in its fullness. He ran after him. He would not be denied. And I believe that's the kind of faith it takes, is a tenacious, persistent, undying, not a lazy thing, but a deliberate, intentional pursuit. I will have everything that God wants me to have. And even more. And I know it will be more, because I've already been told it's going to be greater, greater. Everything that you want will not be as much as he wants for you. There will always be more. And there's a couple of pictures that you see of Elisha following Elijah. And it begins, it's demonstrated in his calling, Elisha's calling, and his commission. His calling and his commission. And those are two things we all have. We all have that. You say, well, what's the calling? The calling was the time that the Holy Spirit came to you and he called you out. And you knew that you were to reach out and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And that you were going to become a follower of Jesus. And you were going to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you were even going to love other people like you never have before. That's your calling. But you also have a commission. What is that? That's even a further down the road purpose and plan that God calls you into ministry. You think ministry is up here. Ministry is everywhere. It is everywhere in every person, everywhere the Holy Spirit resides in each particular member of the body of Christ. The ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in you. And it calls upon you to say, all you need to do by faith is you say no to your fear and you say yes to your faith and you release it. You actually release it. You set your hands to work. You set your mouth to speak. You set your feet to go and do what God wants you to do. And we see this in the calling of Elisha, where there he was. Elijah found him because God told him to go and find Elisha. Go and find him. Found him in a field plowing. And all he did, he didn't even call him. He didn't have a conversation with him. The scripture says that he went up to him and he threw his mantle on him. He threw the person of the Holy Spirit upon him. And that was enough. That was enough for Elisha. I don't know how much training he had had, but he recognized, he perceived something greater than myself has just been put upon me by this prophet, Elijah. And so he ran after him and he said, look, I want to go, but let me first kiss mom and dad goodbye. And then the prophet told him, okay, go back, but I hope you understand the gravity of what I just did to you. So sure enough, he went back and he burned his plow. He boiled the meat of the animals and pulled his plow and he burned it all and he destroyed it all. And then he used it as a kind of an altar and a sacrifice. And then he fed his workers that were plowing in the field with him, and he shared his last supper before he went. So he was willing to give it all up. He was willing to leave it all behind. And this is what we have to be willing to do in our calling. Of course, when we follow Christ, we kind of lose track of the fact that we're to give up all. We're to give it up. Just give it up, lay it down. The disciples did. They left their nets, right? They left their livelihood. They left their security. They turned into pioneers. They were settlers, but they turned into pioneers. They were willing to go where they had never been before, do what they had never done before, had no idea what their future was, but they were willing to embrace that preferable future and leave their past behind. And we do that in our calling. And it is, I will tell you, if you're here and you haven't become a Christian and you're wondering what all of this is about, I'm not going to lie to you. It's leaving everything behind. You know, it's not a nice little sinner's prayer. No, you're giving yourself to another person, the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you're accepting them as your Lord, your Savior. Everything goes into him. And Elisha was that kind of, and he was not willing to ever settle. He wasn't going to settle for just being a farmer. He wasn't going to settle just, you know, to be where he was and what he was doing. He would never settle for less. He would forsake all. He was willing to go and travel light. And you know what? We have to decide, what's holding us back? What's holding you back? What's keeping you? I don't mean just stuff. I mean things that happen to us. Unforgiveness is baggage. You can't go where Jesus wants you to go. He can't work where he wants to work with unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, any of those things. Leave those things behind. Leave them behind. So it's there. It's there that Elisha decided, you know what? I'm not going to settle for less. And when it came time for his commission, he wouldn't settle for less there either. What was his commission? Well, there was a time Elijah was going to be taken away. And Elisha wanted, he knew what Elijah had and he wanted it. So there came this time when they were going to travel from place to place. And they went to Bethel, they went to Jericho, and they went to the Jordan. And every time Elijah tried to discourage him. Do you have people try to discourage you a little bit? You know what? Chill out, man. Calm down. I don't want you to go to Bethel with me. Stay here. He told him, stay here. You can read it for yourself. And he said, I will not. I won't do it. In fact, the message says, not on your life, buddy. I'm not taking my eyes off of you. He hung out. He waited. And then they came to the Jordan. And it was there at the Jordan that 50 prophets came out to witness what was going to happen. They knew something special was going to happen. They knew Elijah was going to be taken up very soon. They kept telling Elisha, oh, you know, the Lord's going to take your master from you today. Yeah, I know. You need to shut up. You need to be quiet. In other words, this is going to end, man. You know, you had your day. It's going to end. No, you need to shut up. I know what I'm doing here. This is going to happen. I'm not going away. I'm not settling for less. I'm not staying behind. He was a man who would not stay behind. Do not stay behind. You don't need to stay behind. So when they got there he took his mantle, Elijah took his mantle and he divided it and they crossed over on the other side. And there were 50 prophets. You know what the number 50 is, right? It's the number of Pentecost. It's the number of Pentecost that was going to witness of another outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the new man. And so they get to the other side and he says, now, okay, fine. You kept on pestering me and following me everywhere. I tried to shake you. I tried to get rid of you. Go ahead, tell me, ask me now. You saw the Jordan divide. What do you want? And the Lord will do that for you. He asks you today, what do you want? What do you want? God does that from time to time. Not all the time. But there may come a time the Lord's going to ask you, what do you want? He's done that in my life. He asked it one time. It got asked of me. I want to know what the answer was to. Well, some other time. But the Lord will ask you. He asked Solomon. Remember, the Spirit of God asked Solomon, what do you want? Told him what he wanted. He's asked, here the prophet is asking Elisha, what do you want? I want a double portion. I want what you have. It's not about you, it's about what you have. I want what you have. I want the anointing. I don't want, this is why I didn't stay behind. This is why I'm not settling for less. I want it all. I want it all. Church, you can have it all. You can have it all. Yes, you can. You can decide. God's already made up his mind. It's made up in heaven already. It's loosed in heaven right now. You can loose it right now here on earth. Loose it. Let it go. You can have it. You don't make it happen. You just receive it. And then it happens. So he did. Give me the double portion. Okay, fine. If you see me go, you can have it. If you don't see me go, it's not going to happen. So what happens? All of a sudden, sure enough, we know. You know, some of you know the story. Elijah indeed was, that was the day. All those prophets were right. He was going to be taken away soon. He, all of a sudden, the heavens opened, and there's chariots and horse of fire coming down out of heaven and actually coming between the two prophets, separating them. That's what it says. He came in, he separated. Separated. And then he goes up, and Elisha said, My father, what about the chariots of Israel? What about the army? What about the Spirit of God? What about, what's going to happen? And the mantle falls. He goes back. He grabs the mantle. This is what he did, why he didn't stay behind. This is why he didn't settle for less. He got what he asked for. What do you want? What do you want today? I'm telling you, it's available. If you're in a place where you haven't responded to a calling, God's calling you. He's calling you. Come on. He's calling you. Be willing to put away the past. Let go of the past. Let go. And even there's an exchange sometimes of when you count the cost of receiving the anointing that you've hungered for so much. It said that Elisha, when he said, my father, he took his own garments, his own shirt, and he ripped it, and he threw it away. He had to get rid of that. It wasn't that he was just lamenting something, but there was something that he let go, and he tore it. Just like he burned his plow, he destroyed his own mantle. He had been wearing around that mantle for too long. Now he's going to take on a new mantle, a new mantle. And so are you, and so am I. Let's take on the new mantle. Refuse to settle for less. And refuse to stay behind. You don't need to stay behind. If I tell you to stay, don't stay. Answer, I will not. Say that with me. I will not. You need to tell the enemy that. You say yes to God and you say no to the devil. That's the way it works. And it gets you through a lot. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? Let's bow our heads, go to the Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's some here that you'd like to receive the word today. I'd like to pray for you. Got a couple of groups I'd like to pray for today. Some of you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never responded to the invitation of a walk with God by the Holy Spirit, saying yes to God, yes to Jesus, yes to what he did for you on the cross. But there are some here that maybe you've been stirred in your heart. You know what? I've been settling too long. I have settled for second best, third best. I just thought it was as good as it gets. I'm going to retire now. But you know what? Not anymore. Not anymore. Or you've just stayed behind. And you think that's what you have to do. You have to stay behind. You can step up today. Step up today. If you'd like prayer, I want you to step forward and just line up here. We're just going to, I'm going to do a prayer. If that's you, step out. Come on. Come on. It takes boldness to step out. Don't stay behind. This is a prophetic act. It really is. It's a prophetic act. You say, I don't feel like it. I'm not feeling it. No, I'm not feeling it, Pastor. Come on, really? Can't I just do it here in my chair? No, you can't. That's staying behind. I know that sounds harsh. But come on, sometimes we got to do some radical things. We got to do some bold things. Hallelujah. We got to make a stand for Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all lift our hands and Lord Jesus, right now we call upon you. Lord, let your prophetic word, God, go deep in their hearts right now. Lord, that they will not, they will not, they will not, they will not. They will say in their heart and they will say out of their mouth, I will not stay behind. I will not settle for less. I will receive all that you have prepared for me. I will do all that you call me to do. I will say no to fear, and I will say yes to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I will say yes. I will do great and mighty things. Why? Because your word says if I call upon you, you will show us great and mighty things. Hallelujah. You will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask, all that we think, all of our wildest imaginations. Lord, you want to do more. God, these are people up here with wild imaginations. They've got wild imaginations. They've got yearning. They've got desires. Lord, right now, awaken their heart even more. Put a holy boldness in them, Father. They will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you haven't accepted Christ in your heart, if you haven't accepted him as your personal Savior, and maybe you have before, but you know what? It just hasn't been going well, and you're just waiting for something to click in. Well, let's have another moment. Let's have another moment to connect right now. Right now. Because it's going to take this time. It's going to take. And just say, Lord Jesus, right now, I believe your word. I believe what you've done for me, that you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I say no to the enemy that says I'm not saved. I say no to him. He's a liar and a thief and the father of lies. And I say no to him and I say yes to you, Lord. I believe your word today. I don't settle for less than what everything you've done, everything you've prepared for me. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I receive forgiveness of sins as if the sins are cast from the east, from the west, to the west. Lord God, I am completely, completely in your arms as your child right now. I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you're receiving, not receiving prayer, you can go back to your seats and Chris is going to come.
Amen. Let's just give it up for the Lord this morning for the word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. The ushers are going to be coming up. We're going to receive the offering. But you know what? Pastor Steve, I just really sense in the weeks to come, there's going to be a nudging, a gentle pushing, if you will, for everybody here in this room, because God's got us going someplace. Amen. God's got you going someplace in your family, in your workplace, and Gateway as a whole, because we got work to do for the Lord. Amen. But a lot of times people ask, what's my next step? I'm in. I want to be a part of what God's doing, but what's my next step? So what we have is this card that's in the seat back in front of you, and that is an opportunity for people to fill that out and bring that up here or take that to the Welcome Center afterwards. For some people, the next step is just to receive Christ. For some, it's to get water baptized. We have water baptism coming up in a couple of weeks. For some, it's going to grow tracks, but there is a trajectory of what God wants to do. We've got a pathway that everybody can take. take going into maybe school of the ministry or whatever. But we believe everybody's got a call in their life here in this house. Amen. So, Father, bless this offering as we're receiving it. And we just thank you for this time, Lord, for us to be together. And bless everybody giving in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
My God is over all. I believe it. I have seen it. My God is over all. And I believe it. I have seen it. My God is over.
You to come over here to your right welcome station. We got some gifts for those that are brand new here today. For everybody else, if you need prayer, we'd like to have our prayer teams come up to the front. If you need to stand in agreement for yourself or somebody else, come up and get some prayer. For the rest of us, Father, this has been a good day in the house of God. We, Lord, worshiped you. We heard the word of the Lord. And now, Lord, we just seal this time by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name that, Lord, we're going to go out the doors here and we're going to have a great week. We're going to have a great Memorial Day tomorrow, Lord God, and Tuesday's going to be good. Wednesday's going to be blessed. And Lord, for every one of us having an opportunity to be a reflection of your kingdom, Lord, in this world, we bless them, everybody here this day, Father. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Great day. Have a great day tomorrow, Memorial Day. And we'll see you next Sunday.